Here's Wilson, and on the right circle, he scores!
Rebound loose, wild scramble in front, score! Ovechkin with a buzzer beater! It'll count!
And a hat trick tonight, number 21, Evan Bourque.
Braden Holtby!
Hello and welcome once again to the Power Play Point Podcast. This is the Blue Liner on Point, talking to you live to tape from beautiful downtown Glen Burnie, Maryland. And we're here once again for another week of Capitals hockey talk from two fans who tell it like it is. I don't know, maybe that's going to be our new tagline. I don't know, we'll see if that sticks. So, you on the other side of the earbuds, speakers, what have you, listening from the state of Maryland, Commonwealth of Virginia, and or the District of Columbia, welcome again. And here to help us along, as only she can, is our mermaid memeing mentalist, Fairfax County's teaching prodigy, speaking as only she can, live to you from Centerville, Virginia. It is the beautiful, wonderful, and a Knox.
Sweet. It's like my fan club's already calling in.
Yeah, awesome. Must gotta be them.
It's who else could possibly be calling? Hey Gil, how, you know, let's just comment on this kick-ass weather. How fantastic is it when the sun's out?
Well, it could be more kick-ass.
You don't be a Debbie Downer every time. Come on.
What?
Something has to get you to be like, yeah, this day rocks. And then, you know, it's going to happen. It's going to be like really gorgeous out. You'd be like, but I have allergies. And then it's going to be like another thing. I just want you to say it's awesome that the sun is out.
Well, okay. I love it that the sun is out. I loved it even more when it was 20 degrees warmer and I could sit on my porch and have an adult. What?
You could still sit on your porch out in this weather. Because This California girl here is, I've been wearing flip-flops for the last week or so to school because as soon as the snow melts, I'm like, later, stupid closed-toed shoes. And I tell you, the best outfit, and I will probably be buried in it, is a sweatshirt, shorts, and flip-flops. It's the best. So if it's a little bit chilly out, that's just makes me even more happy. And that was this week. I mean, God, this weekend was gorgeous. So, did you
that? Sorry. That and it was St. Patty's Day yesterday. Also,
I did partake in some festivities. Did you?
I was going to say, did you get your Irish on? I sure did. At least after work, anyway.
Oh, hell yeah!
had me a couple of Guinness stouts.
You know what? It's interesting. I didn't do the Irish thing, although I am part Irish. Shocking, right?
Kinda.
I didn't. I actually was at this really kick-ass pub in Leesburg, Delirium. Highly, highly recommend it. And it's a Belgian bar. And so one of my best friends and I, we do annual, obviously it's birthday, so it would be annual, my birthday and then her birthday in the fall. And we go out to restaurants.
Bet there was a lot of Belgian going on after you had some beers.
I would never. I'm a lady. Just kidding. Yeah, there was. There's some pretty good ones too. Say my name, you name it. yeah. So anyway, so. It. Does it surprise you? No, I've got these talents that, yeah, they're there. But now I had mussels and frites and Belgian beer and walked around. It was absolutely gorgeous. And it actually is like on the same blocks as the sex shop I went to. Sorry about that.
What?
The sex shop I went to with Chris a couple months ago.
Oh.
I'm sorry, the adult store. The adult novelty store. It's on the same street. Here. Awesome. So, you know, why not go have Belgian beers and celebrate St. Patrick's Day and then find yourself in that store? Because why not?
You can find yourself doing a lot of things in that store, I guess.
I learn something new every time.
I'm not going to ask.
All right. So let's talk about Caps.
Well, I'm not done getting my Irish on. I mean, there's traditional, lots of traditional foods to have. Ooh, boy. Energy drinks backing up on me a little bit. Sorry. But, yeah, I mean,
get your Belgian on.
Yeah, a little bit.
All right.
I'm not ashamed to admit it. So, I know I'm going to warn you now. I know you don't like my singing, but,
no, Danny boy.
Oh God. No. But, there's a traditional, Irish concoction that, one can have. And I'm reminded of the old song about it. Oh, the taters are old and the meat is a fright. Everything is left over from Saturday night. We sweep it all up, put it into a pot, and tell you it's real Irish stew that we got.
Nice. I bet that song is totally fantastic when you've had a bunch of Guinness stouts and you try to say it fast and yeah, it's awesome. Is that what you guys were doing yesterday?
No. But we're having, the missus is making some sort of concoction.
Okay, it's the second time you've said concoction.
Well, I've got concoction on the brain.
Well, do you recall why it's funny?
Actually, I do, but we can't talk about it right now.
Okay, bummer. All right, so you've got
for those of you who are curious, you'll have to go into our archives and listen to a previous episode. I'm not sure which just yet, but I do recall it.
Yeah, okay.
And I'm getting very, 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 very dirty looks from the missus from over across from the kitchen right now, so we need to get on with it.
All right.
Okay. All right. So another three games. Pardon me. Not so great results this time around. And of course, they were all on the road.
Right.
So when we last left you, the Caps played a masterful game against the Jets, winning. Well, I don't know if it was masterful, but it looked a lot better than the paper said it was. The paper results said it was. It was a 3-1 win against the Jets. And then they went on the road they're still on the road now, but they went on the road, played three games, first of which was the next Tuesday night against the dreaded Pittsburgh Penguins. And it started out well enough. Mm-hmm. Towards the end of the first period, no score until then, 1927 to be exact. Jacob Vrana with a nice shot.
Fantastic.
5 feet in front of the crease. Oshie and Backstrom on the assist snapped it right over Matt Murray's glove hand for the 1-0 lead, his 20th of the year.
Yeah, bravo.
20 goal club. Remember that. Remember that.
Because somebody else made it too.
Someone else will join that nice club later on. Mm-hmm. And Vrana wouldn't stop there. 24 to the next period, Rister making it 2-0. Orlov and Oshie with another assist there. Then the wheels started coming off. I won't lie. Jake Guentzel with his 35th about 2 minutes later. And, was this the one? Well, okay. So this is the one where Kempney and Carlson got a little, caught a little flat footed.
Yeah.
And, so that made it 2-1. And then, less than a minute later, unfortunately, Sidney Crosby would get his 32nd. Anybody who wants to can start retching now. Ties it up at 2-2. You and I can get into this a little bit later, but at this point, I would have, if I were Coach Reardon, I would have put the halt to everything right then and there, because it was easy to see that, the momentum was stopping, or at least when the power play was gotten in the next several seconds, which would lead to the next goal. Crosby's 33rd, giving Pittsburgh the lead, and they never looked back, as it turned out. That ended the scoring for that period, but put them up for good, unfortunately. And then the third period came, and big friggin' surprise. Penguins get another power play, and they get another goal on said power play. Phil Kessel with his 23rd.
I think I want to puke more with his name than I do with Crosby's. Crosby's is just like, oh, eye roll. You know, it's like, been there, done that over him. Phil Kessel.
Right.
Oh, him and Malkin, I swear, throat punch worthy.
Yeah, well, this is how I feel about Kessel. He can take his hot dogs and just stick them somewhere.
Right? How gross! Not like never. I wasn't a big hot dog fan, anyways, but now I'm really not. Thanks, Phil.
Well, Mr. Producer Jeffrey is, and so I think he'll be rethinking that.
I hope so. Don't be a traitor, Jeffrey.
So that made it 4-2. Caps get a little bit of life when they get their own power play a couple minutes later, and John Carlson snaps it in from the wing to make it 4-3. And it looked like they were going to mount a comeback, and then they just fell flat.
Mm-hmm.
Jake McCann wraps it up with about a minute to go with an empty netter, making it 5-3. And yeah, that was pretty much the end of it. Now, the story of the game, of course, myself included, a lot of Caps fans made out to be the fact that Evgeny Kuznetsov did not exactly have a very good game this night. And this was just the latest amongst several of very poor, very uneven, very sloppy efforts on his part. Now, I'm not going to say get your torches and pitchforks and start to run him out of town. I'm not of that ilk. I'm not going to start panicking. I'm not going to even start saying he's not getting his money's worth, giving his money's worth, that is. But we need to see more out of him, for sure. And it has not been happening for probably the better part of the week or two. He had a really bad giveaway that led to the, was it the Gensel goal or the Crosby goal?
It doesn't matter. It sucks.
Gensel goal, the first one. Mm-hmm. And you could see that deflated the team. The wheels started coming off.
Yeah.
Whatever energy they had, out the window.
But see that, that's what annoys me though about social media and you know, we're all so connected to all these Caps fans groups, which I love because so many knowledgeable fans out there. And I always learn things from, you know, being a more recent fan than the ones back in, you know, starting in 74. But I'll say, if athletes are going to have, you know, they're not going to be on all the time. And I feel like we had this issue. We have it now with Kuzi. He hasn't been like this all season. Is he exactly how he was last season? No, but none of them are. You know, some are better, some are not so great. And it's how it happens, you know, it's just, or how it, you know, that's just how it, I don't know. I'm just frustrated that so many people who, you know, when he scores and he does some fancy trick and everyone thinks, oh my God, only he can do something like that. And then everyone's on board. And then, you know, 92 kind of fucks it up a little bit. And it's like, oh, get rid of him. He's not doing this. He needs to be benched. It's a little extreme. I do feel like if he ever went on social media, he would have a rude awakening from, you know, fans that aren't happy with his recent play. But it, you know, they're not going to be on all the time. It's not possible. People have off games, and you have a season that is like, you know, 8 months long, and it's grueling. And so, Yeah, I don't know. I kind of ignored all that. I was more concerned, honestly, with, you know, of course, concerned with him. But I feel like if the whole team is going to go downhill because of this one play, then that's just really crappy of the team. Like, you cannot put it on like it, but it's true. It's like you watch it as a viewer and you look at it and think, okay, after Kuzi had his fuck up, everything went downhill. But there was no reason for that. There was still, you know, what, 42 minutes left of hockey. And if the team gave up because of what happened, then that's an issue that needs to be brought up in the locker room. Then you know what? Then you try that much harder. Then you, you know, put it aside or you do something, but you cannot chalk it up to one terrible play in 60 minutes and say that that's the reason why the whole game went downhill.
But right. And okay. So 2 points here. First, I can only speak for myself, but my point in getting into all this is because, look, you know, he's getting what is it, $6.5 million a year or something. You know, he's into the top tier of centers or close to it. Right. So you have to come out with a much better effort. This was a 4-point game. This is a classic 4-point game. And if you don't know what I mean by that, it means that the winner gets 2 points and moves up that much further, while the loser gets pushed down by 2 points. So the swing being 4 points because they're in the same division. That's what that means. And this was a classic 4-point game against a hated rival that, you know, we're looking to keep down. Until recently, they weren't doing all that well. They're just now getting back in the playoff picture. So you've got to come at it with your best effort. You've got to come at it with all the energy you've got. And other games notwithstanding, in this game, I didn't see it. And that's just...
Oh, I'm not saying
I'm
that he...
There's no excuse
I'm not saying
that.
I'm not saying he didn't have a crap game. But I'm also saying that there's other players out there who I don't feel are playing up to their potential. So, you know, it's... Yes, this sucked. But you know what? I feel like last year, people were ready to trade Ovechkin. You know, it was like, oh, you know, he's too old.
They were. And he came back. Right. You know, I have no doubt in my mind that Kuzi will come back and go back into the paper MVP mode. What I mean by that is because the guy led all skaters with points in the playoffs last year. So on paper, he should have won the Conn Smythe, but we all know unless Ovechkin scored like nothing, it was going to be his. But right. I digress. So we all know he's going to go back to that come playoff time, or hopefully even sooner than that. So I'm not concerned about that, but I was concerned about the lack of effort. And I just look, it's our duty as fans to call him out on that. Some may call that whining. I call that calling somebody out who needs to be called out. And by the way, I wasn't alone in that. So message sent, hopefully. But getting into point two, you mentioned Caps should not have allowed the momentum to be lost because of one player's mistake. Agreed. But whose job is it to help maintain that? The coach.
Right.
So at 2 points in the game, either after the second goal or the moment Pittsburgh got their first power play, Todd Reirden should have called a timeout to stop the bleeding.
Because when he did that the previous week, it was brilliant and worked in our favor.
Exactly.
Yeah. And you're right. Yeah. I agree.
It's a great tactic. Slow the game down. Give the team a chance to breathe, catch their breath, find out, you know, get their heads back in the game and, you know, out of whatever orifice it's been inserted in for the last 10 minutes, and, you know, just regroup And that's what you need to do sometimes. And for whatever reason, he just didn't pull the trigger on it. And it was obvious that they need it. And that's why, even though you can't, as I mentioned in another posting in True Caps, you can't argue with the results he's gotten. But at times I do question his methods and his tactics. And this was one of those times.
I think not, I don't want to say it's coming to his defense, but maybe it'll come off that way. So he did something different. It was, I don't know if it was last week or the 2 weeks when he called the timeout and kind of calmed everybody down, regrouped. And it, like I said, it absolutely worked in our favor. But as a coach, you want to, he did that and it wasn't expected. And the players were like, holy shit. And then they're listening to him. They're calming down. He then is expecting these players, these adult men, these professional athletes, to then say like, okay, listen, we don't want to have another forced timeout because we can't get our shit together. So there may be just something like, I mean, who knows, maybe when they go up against the Devils tomorrow night, or God forbid, when we have to, well, playing Tampa again, maybe he'll use that tactic again. But I don't think that he needs to, that as a coach, you would want to use that as a crutch to say, okay, I have to pull you guys aside to regroup. You should know what you need to do on the ice, which is why I was disappointed. I was disappointed in the way Cousy played. Yes, I agree with you on that. But I don't agree with the fact that that of all the lines, everything just kind of fell apart after that. And it's like, no, you still had 40 something minutes left of hockey. No, absolutely not. It's not an excuse. You know, Holpe's going to miss a goal, obviously. Then you know what? We don't all go downhill because of that. You rally and you try to get this shit together and get the team to move forward. So I won't use Cousy as an excuse. No way. The team should know better. And you say you want to put on the coach. I think he did it, and he doesn't want it to be a repeated situation.
Okay.
You can, well, agree to disagree.
I mean, you started out agreeing with me and now you're disagreeing with me, but that's certainly, you're right.
No, I agree with you about Cousy not playing well.
Okay, but you don't agree with the fact with the idea of calling the timeout, possibly helping the team?
No, I'm saying when he did that a week or two ago, it wasn't expected, and that the team was like, oh shit, okay, and then regrouped and got everybody together. But as pro athletes, they should remember that, so he doesn't have to do that every time we're, you know, in a situation where it's like one of our star players plays crappy and it's like, oh, everyone's going to go downhill, where he's got to call a timeout and get everybody. No, it shouldn't be an excuse. That's all I was saying. So I'm sorry. Maybe my message came across.
Okay. Well, either way, regardless of the reasoning, I definitely think he should have utilized the timeout to let this team take a breath because they needed it, and get their heads back in the game because they weren't, and just, I don't know, might have been a way to get back the momentum at that point. But for whatever reason, he didn't do it, and they let 2.5 minutes of just poor play and not paying attention ruin what otherwise was a good game. So saith almighty statistics. Shots on goal, 41-30, good guys. Face-offs, not too bad. Pittsburgh only a slight advantage there. Power plays, Pittsburgh 2-for-4, Caps 1-for-2. An imbalance in power play chances. Where have I seen that before? I don't know. I don't know. And there's a lot of that going around. So the hit department, statistically, Pittsburgh credited with more hits, but it seemed to me like the Caps were the more physical of the two teams.
Agreed.
Looked that way to me anyway, a game I was watching. So I don't know. Itchy trigger finger on the hit button. I don't know on for the home team. Possession game, favors the Caps, everything, on paper, by the eye, everything favored the Caps. Like I said, it's just 2.5 minute laps that ultimately cost them the game, and they just could not get the momentum back. And this was 2 points ultimately that they should have had. And it's, you know, I don't know, just one of those things. And look at the, I think this is the most telling right here. Shots on goal by period. 15 alone for the Caps in the second, 17 in the third period. So they were clearly the more desperate team as the game wore on. And I don't know, just couldn't get it done. And it just, I don't know. 2 points it got away, and just, I don't know.
It's that, and of course, it's that much more of a burn when it's fucking Pittsburgh. So it's like, you know, that's never, and that's, you know, we could have, I don't know, an entire show on just that game alone, but it's.
Yeah, we could.
But you can't, I'm not going to.
No, you're right.
Maybe my message just didn't come through, but I just feel like.
No, I know exactly where you're going with it. And we can't dwell on it. We can't, you know, wallow in it forever. So we have to move on. You're right. You know, you can't let something like that, you know, continue to get the team down. So moving on to the second game in the road trip. So they would go across state over to the city of brotherly love. Hi, Carrie.
Yeah.
Okay. So, all right. So the return of Flyers goalie Carter Hart. So not quite sure what we would do as or how things would turn out. That was actually a concern of mine, see how they would play. But not needing to be concerned any further, as opened the scoring at 2:53 with a wrister. 1-0 Washington. The Tiger would follow up about 7.5 minutes later, 6.5 minutes later, with a wrister. Good to see him getting on the board. Connolly with an assist there. You talk about somebody that's been playing great as of late. And I know we'll talk about that in a little bit. Carl Hagelin also on assist there. So that would close the scoring for the first period. Moving on to the second, James Van Riemsdyk would get the Flyers on the board with a snapper a minute or so into the second. Shane Gost is be here. Sorry, Gost is be here. Gostisbehere. He certainly wasn't a ghost in this game. And then Connolly with another assist by Hagelin, making it 3-1. 7 minutes, 7.5 minutes later. And then, well, we'll skip over this for now. Because I know, Anna, you have so much to say about it. But a certain someone with his 20th, assisted Tommy. By. No, not Tommy. He can't assist himself.
Oh, with this assist. Sorry, I scooted out there for that minute to talk to my daughter, and then I came back and I heard 20, and I thought we were talking about Tommy, but
we are talking about Tommy.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah, Wilson with his 20th, making it 4-1, assisted by Kuznetsov and Orlov. And then Sean Lawton with his 12th, making it 4-2, but that would be all for the Flyers as far as scoring. And then Kuznetsov in the third with 2.5 left to cap it with the empty netter. 5-2 final score. So getting back to that fourth goal, and we almost had two gentlemen joining the 20 goal club that evening. But Tom Wilson with his 20th with a slapper. I'm going to punch up the replay on the Caps app now. Okay, so all right, looks like he's doing his thing in front of the crease. No, he's not. someone else. Ovechkin was causing traffic in front of the crease, and he was actually in the high slot and put it through a bunch of bodies to get it in there. And like I said last week, that's my favorite part of his game, when he's getting in front, you know, getting shots or causing chaos. And that's what I love about this game. But he actually I guess I was wrong. He kind of did help himself, because he started the play behind the net, tossed it back to the point, a little bit of razzle dazzle, and then he gets it on the high slot and puts it away. Classic Wilson goal.
It was, but I don't know. Razzle dazzle doesn't work for me, but it was. He looked fantastic. There's just nothing else to say. I'm going back to the Pittsburgh game for the amount of times that he was egged on. You know, I wish they would mic him up like they do in the NFL. But of course, they would never be able to play it. You know, it would have to be on a special site.
Every other word would be beep,
right? Beep. Which I could relate, which could be like this podcast, but I've cleaned up a little bit. But he's, you know, that's got to be really, really hard. And I feel, you know, we've talked about it before, that, you know, he's a target, he's a big guy, but he's so proven himself as just a kick-ass hockey player. And I'm really, really impressed with him. Because that's, you know, you've got not just the team that can't stand you, but you got the fans that hate you. You know, every time he gets in the sin bin or whatever, you just see all these flashes going off of people taking pictures of him and mocking him and whatever. And that's like, you know, you have to have a strong mental game, excuse me, to block that stuff out and, you know, just be like, whatever, and not let it get to you. Cause you know, people are they're dirty. They make comments about your family and girlfriend or your wife or whatever it is. And it's like, God, so I'm just proud of him. I mean, cause it's like, you know, he goes to the sin bin because someone's been physically egging him on. I don't see him making so many stupid errors, but you know, we still have the hooking, tripping penalties that, like, oh, come on, guys. That's where we need to tighten it up a little bit. Excuse me. I hope I'm not getting sick.
I hope you're not getting sick either. But
sorry about
you're,
that.
You're right. And it's kind of an inside joke almost, basically the meme is that, Tom Wilson owns a lot of headspace in not only other teams, but their fans as well, living rent free in their heads, obviously. Right. And there's more. There'll be more of that in the next game that we cover.
Right.
I'm not going to bother really going over this. I'm not saying Philly's not a worthy opponent, but I said it last week. They're making a great effort, but unfortunately, their drive for the playoffs is starting to run out of steam, and right. it's the cracks are starting to show. And you know, some of their efforts are going towards next year, and you can kind of see where this game was going to end up. Again, don't want to discount them. They're a very worthy opponent, but they were unfortunately sellers at the trade deadline, and you know, with their trading of Wayne Simmons, and you know, just I guess
yeah, you know, they, time to regroup.
Time to regroup. Yeah, good way of putting it. And you know, I kind of wish they could have put a better foot forward, because you know, they kind of deserve better, but. You know, they still have some fight in them, but you know, right now they're going to be a better team next year than they are now. That's for sure.
But hey, they beat the Pens last night in overtime. Oh, so
yeah, that's what I'm saying. they are not giving up. They just they're bringing a handgun, and everybody else has Uzis. bad example, I know. Bad example. Okay. Moving on from that god-awful analogy to the next game of the road trip in sunny Tampa, Florida, Tampa St. Pete, that metropolis, against the Lightning, whom, by quirk of fate, quirk of idiotic scheduling, more like it, the Caps have not faced this year at all. So something of an anticipated matchup. And so let's get to it. Tyler Johnson scores his 26th, 8:35 into the first on a wrister, assisted by Braden Point and Nikita Kucherov. Kucherov with his league-leading 81st assist on that one.
Crazy.
And yeah, absolutely. And then about 2 minutes later, almost to the second, Alex Killorn with his 14th unassisted. Basically, right place, right time, but he puts it away on the deflection. And then, okay, so one definite bright spot in this game, John Carlson with his 12th, a beautiful slapper from outside.
Yeah.
Makes 2-1 Caps, 12:06 into the first, and Killorn gets on the board again with his 15th, making it 3-1 before the end of the first. I was listening to the radio coverage, and Ken Sabrin and John Walton pretty much nailed it. Caps didn't seem to know how to come out and play against basically the team that's run away with everything so far this year, but they sure did figure it out from then on, because right. They started playing much more desperate hockey as the game wore on. So the Caps would get a power play about 6 minutes in the next period. The captain would put it away for his 47th. Oshie and Carlson with his 52nd assist.
Amazing.
Carlson was all over the place. He had Absolutely. A fantastic game. I've run him down a few times this year, but on both ends of the ice, he had a magnificent game.
Agreed.
Okay. So moving on to the third, Cernak from the Lightning with his 4th, McDonough and Andre Palat on the assist in that one, 4-2.
I hate McDonough.
I hate him too. He was
He did something.
Well, we'll just get to it. He did something that, at the very least, was suspendable. At the very most, was extremely despicable. Basically, he put TJ Oshie in a chokehold. Yes, he got called for it, but gross misconduct ring a bell to anybody? I certainly would have slapped that on him if I were a referee. But
asshole.
Apparently they didn't see it. But yeah, he's one of the all-time get on Caps fans' nerves. I don't know if anyone recalls, but it was like 3-4 years ago where he accused Ovechkin of being fat, lazy, and tired during the playoffs. Mm. Yeah. We haven't forgotten. You might be on a new team, pal, but we haven't forgotten. Speaking of that, though, the captain would bring it back with his 48th, a wrister to make it 4-3. And as I said, the Caps were playing more desperate at that point. Let's see. And then go ahead.
Are you sure?
Go ahead. Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, so I don't feel like I'm a completely out of it in this episode today. Cause I'm not, I'm like, it's Monday. I'm tired, but I swear I have points to make. I don't know if they're coming across as well. I think the example of, team momentum and things like that can be seen when we didn't see them come out. They weren't the Capitals come out in that first period or the first half of the first period where they kind of were like, holy shit, like, you know, this team's given 100% and we're not there. And, you know, they weren't in their groove. And the amount of times that Alex Ovechkin, you know, shooting and trying and being in the right place and absolutely determined. Guy was not going to give up. And that's why you have to love him as a captain. But you have to feel that the momentum then shifted when he scored. And I feel like what, you know, John Walton was saying, and, you know, as you're listening to it on the radio, was like, all right, you have your captain scoring. He's not given up. And so now it's time to rally. Like, let's just go and kick ass and move forward. And that's the Capitals team I want to see. I want to see more of that, not just from the captain, but just, you know, hey, Vrana scores back to back in Pittsburgh, and that they should have rode that wave, not, you know, the other way. And I just thought it was just an interesting kind of analysis to kind of sit back and say, okay, you know, when the captain scores, the team, you know, they all pull together and they're in it. And like, it says so much about Ovechkin's leadership, but that's why I don't think they needed to have the little pep talk from Reardon. But I wish that it didn't go, the pendulum didn't like go the other way when one of their top players, like Kuzi, you know, kind of fucks up and then everything's like, oh, boo, you know? So I liked this. I thought everybody knew it was going to be ridiculously fast, aggressive NHL hockey. Like, this is what we wanted to see. And Tampa Bay came and, you know, they gave us exactly what we wanted. I will say that I think that minus a couple of the calls, this officiating was more tight and more fair than other times the Capitals have played. And so, you know, but it's, we've got two more games against them. And I just had to make that little Ovechkin random soapbox moment.
No, I totally get what you're saying. It's better for the team to rally from within than to make the coach have to stop everything and say, all right, children, stop jerking around.
There you go. Yeah,
I totally get what you're saying.
Okay.
But sometimes, you know, just not to.
But sometimes they need a little ass kicking, and that I totally get. And I apologize. I cut you off for the third period rundown.
Oh, no. It's well, they're, you know, third period, unfortunately, in this game, not much to see here. Yeah, there are two empty net goals that make the score look, you know, a little more, well, a little worse than it actually was. But overall, I will agree with you. I liked the effort the Caps showed in this game in the latter two periods.
Right.
I like the fact that at the very least, Carlson and Ovechkin were up for this game.
Yep.
For sure. I don't know if you can call too many others passengers, but overall it's a great effort. It's a great effort by the whole team in the game. They were certainly into it when they realized they were down. They didn't give up. And they matched Tampa shot for shot. Also an encouraging sign was the special teams. 1-for-4 on the power play. And pretty much the best power play that's ever been, or at least for this year. Four chances, stopped them all four times.
Yeah, so, I'm so impressed with
very
that.
Very encouraging. Very but
just
encouraging.
Just like on a, hey, we're running out of time moment, would you have considered pulling Holtby at any point during the game?
No, I would
okay.
not have. Now, I will say that one goal, I can't remember which one it was. I think it was the one that would end up being the winning goal, I think.
Right.
He looked a little off on that one, but that was the only one I could fault him on. He didn't have a terrible game, certainly, but on that goal at least, I think. Yeah, he let that one get by him, and that's as the phrase goes, he certainly would have liked to have had that back. Bottom line, okay, three games on the road, one regulation win, two regulation losses. Not the greatest of weeks, but quick check of the standings. As of this moment, right now, unfortunately, Caps are back in a tie for first place for the Metropolitan Division with the New York Islanders. Islanders are listed first based on a goal differential of 10 better, 10 to the good they are. Other than that, their records are virtually identical. Same amount of wins, same amount of OT losses, same amount of regulation wins. They give it to them based on goal differential. Both have 10 games left to play. Pittsburgh in third with 9 games left to play. And watch out for those Carolina Hurricanes who hold a wild card spot with 11 games left to play and the CBJ holding the last spot. So it's going to be coming. We're coming down. I don't know if you all have realized it, folks, but we're coming down to the wire here. About a dozen games or so, depending who you are, 10 or 10 games, some less, well, 10 games less in some cases. But yeah, we're heading for it. We're heading for it, head for the end. It's going to be very, very interesting. I don't think the Caps, you know, are in danger of missing the playoffs, obviously, but it's going to be very interesting to say the least, as far as how that's going to go. Okay. So we've got two quick segments here. I hate to kind of gloss over this, but I did want to make mention. Yesterday was the final of the National Women's Hockey League Championship, at which they award the Isabel Cup. And it was the expansion Minnesota Whitecaps against the Buffalo Buttes. And the Buttes were going for their second ever win. And let me tell you, folks, this was a hell of a game. This was an absolute hell of a game. I wish we had time to do a full recap, but this thing was 60 minutes of hockey plus. And yeah, there was some fatigue that showed on one team because by a quirk of fate, I think it was the Buttes got a 10-day break because something happened with the availability of ice, and they ended up, you know, not playing for 10 games, and the Minnesota had just come off a win. But other than that, it was a fantastic game to watch. And if you didn't catch it on Twitter Live, you missed something great. And so I would definitely recommend laying eyes on this because, like I said, it was a great game. Both teams had 30 shots on goal. The third period alone was worth the price of admission. I would think I'd have easily paid $20 to see this game at least. Nice. Or more, because it was that good. It was that That's good. Awesome. Third period, they were trading scoring chances back and forth the last 10 minutes. Now the announcers were getting into it. You know, the color commentator, she kept saying, I'm so nervous, I'm sweating, this is, everybody's got the game on their stick, this is so awesome. And you know, everybody was getting into it. It was so great to see. And then they went to overtime, and Lee Stecklein of the Minnesota Whitecaps put it away from the power play point. Hence another reason why I'm mentioning with a seeing eye puck shot that went through a bunch of legs and into the net 49 seconds into overtime. I figured this thing, the way they were playing, it was going to go a while, but 49 seconds in, boom, over. And again, the Minnesota Whitecaps are the winners of this year's Isabel Cup. And I can't stress it enough. It was a joy. It was a joy to watch this game. So I just, my hat's off to the NWHL for putting on a great season and an exciting finish to what's probably going to be their most successful season. Well, it is their most successful season to date. And I wish them continued success in the next year and beyond. So I just had to put that out there. I know I posted it.
I don't know. I'm honestly so glad that you did, because I'm next time I want to, you know, get on it. Like I said, I was just out all day yesterday, so I didn't have a chance to do the Twitter feed, but that sounds like it was awesome. hockey and sports at its best, and that's what we love.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you look, if you don't believe women can hang in this game, well, give it a chance. Give it a chance. watch it. They're live on Twitter. I guarantee you won't be disappointed. It's a bit of a different style. Of course, there's not really a whole lot of hitting, but that doesn't mean there's not some intensity to it. And that doesn't mean there's not some angry scrums afterward. Okay.
Bitch brawls.
But the intensity is definitely there. And, yeah. And it was a joy and very exciting to watch. So I highly recommend it. Lady Isabel, whom the cup, just want to say one last thing. Lady Isabel, whom the cup is mainly named after, who is named after, she was one of the first female hockey players. You don't know who she is. She's the daughter of Frederick Arthur, Lord Stanley of Preston, who, of course, created the Stanley Cup. And she was instrumental in growing the game in what was then the Dominion of Canada, and encouraged her father, Lord Stanley, to create the Challenge Cup, which we now know as the Stanley Cup. So ladies,
kick history, ass.
Yes, she is. Yes, she is. History is on your side. It's with you, not against you. And so we do have her to thank. And that's why, one of many reasons why we promote the women's game, women's involvement as much as we can on this show. Speaking of women's involvement, we are 1 week away Woo-hoo. From not only next week, but our special presentation. We are going to have our all-female roundtable in honor of Women's History Month, hosted by not me.
No, I'm going to take the reins on this one. And Gil, you are that much more awesome for allowing it, or handing it over, however, whatever is the right thing to say.
I would say allowing it. I mean,
it's, well, it's, I do recall I, you, I, you saying a couple weeks ago, it is your show.
And well, so that right. I said that with some love and in jest. I don't know what I ingested at that time, but
I don't know either, but it's all good. It's all good. So no, you are, supporting, how about that? Me taking over the show, but, let's hope I remember to hit record and,
don't worry. I'll remember.
Yeah. But are you going to be able to sound like the woman who says this Uber conference is being recorded? You'll have to give her a run.
I'll do my best.
Okay.
I'll do my best.
You and I will have a little competition on who sounds better, who sounds more like the woman in Uber conference. Anyway, so yes, so next week
we Uber sexy voice.
Right. Yeah. So next week, I'm just super, super, super stoked about this, because it's women who some I have not met in person, but social media has brought us all together. I feel like we have powerful, funny as hell, diehard hockey fans. And aside from hockey fans, just women that have had experiences in which they've just been like, hey, you know what? I'm here, I'm woman, hear me roar kind of thing. And I'm all about that. So we're going to have, hopefully, if everything pans out the way it's supposed to, six female fan callers and fun, and one Scottish fan I am so excited to talk to. Just not just talk about the Caps, but also I have a couple other questions sort of outside of Washington Capitals. Of course, I want to talk to them about, what they think about the playoffs and how the boys are looking recently, any changes that they would, consider. And then I have a couple other questions off on the side that are going to be a little bit more random, but a little bit more fun. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. So Gil, I said it before, but I do appreciate, truly, I'm not being sarcastic, which is usually the other side, the majority of the other show. You letting us do this, like, you know, like letting, supporting, you know, whatever you want to call it. So this will be, yeah, a week today. I think it's going to be just good times all around. And it doesn't even have to be a huge deal, because there are women in sports and we all support each other, and it should be 24/7, and it doesn't have to be like a certain day or a certain month. But I feel like we have a platform to stand on at Power Play Point Podcast to just, you know, let women have their say. And fortunately, we have a lot to say about hockey, especially the Washington Capitals.
Absolutely. And I, for one, cannot wait to hear the opinions of all these women. And I sincerely mean that, because when I looked at the calendar, and I think you and I pretty much came up with this idea together.
Sure.
And this is kind of something I've always wanted to do. And you're right. And I'm happy and proud that we have a platform where the female Caps fan can open up and say what they want to say, really, you know, without restriction and without judgment, mainly, is what I wanted, or any Caps fan for that matter, but especially those who may not always be heard, I think. So that's one of the big reasons why I'm you know, happy and proud to do this. I can't wait until, you know, it all comes out and everybody gets together, because it'll be really a celebration of some fans that really love this team and need to say what they need to say. So
yeah. Awesome.
Looking forward to that. So
I'll be in a fantastic mood, because I will have been on my just coming home from my Nashville trip, which I've never been to. I absolutely hate country music, and it's all these things that are so not mine interest, but you know what? I'm always up for an adventure, and I'm looking forward to good food and good people. And of course my mother's like, oh, go see a Preds game. I'm like, oh, you, Miss Winnipeg Jets fan, how dare you? And ironically, she'll be watching the kids while Ian and I go to Nashville. But yeah, so I will be all ready and professional, and I think the cocktails will be flowing on all ends, including Mrs. Blue Liner, I hope. And we'll just gonna rock it out.
Absolutely. I can't wait. And that you won't hear much of me,
because you're gonna be quote unquote lingering in the background, creeper.
Well, I'll just be in the background. Anyone who's curious, I will be open for a question or interject myself when needed, but no, it's going to be pretty much a ladies forum, and that's going to be something to behold.
Yeah, fuck yeah, I'm excited.
Okay, so yep, don't want to hold you up anymore, Anna. I know you got some shit to do, stuff to take care of, not to mention Sports on the Hill tonight. As a reminder, you can't get enough of Anna on this show. And certainly get a hold of her, but get more of her audio wise on Sports on the Hill tonight at 7, opening with Caps Talk. And they have a very special episode, very special guest with Haley Skrupa, gold medal winning Olympian. Haley Skrupa, of course, from Rockville with the USA hockey team on tonight, and can't wait for that as well. So we're going to wrap it up here. 1-2 this week, but hoping for better times, and certainly ramping it up for the playoffs. So for Anna Knox, this is the Blue Liner on Point, signing off and reminding you that it's not good to be a peanut walking down the street, especially if you're assaulted. Hallelujah, and let's go Caps.
Go Caps.
This has been another episode of the Power Play Point Podcast. All episodes are available from Apple Podcasts, the Podbean app, blueliner77.podbean.com, and now available from Stitcher. Music by Joe McAllister, voiceover by Jeffrey Conkle.